Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I am here in sunny but soon to be rainy New Jersey. We've had a run of some very, very nice weather, so I can't really complain. And Sefton is there in hopefully sunny Wisconsin. Mr. Sefton, my partner and friend, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you very much. It is unfortunately overcast and very muggy. I think it's supposed to rain at some point that, perhaps our rain is going to be heading your way, afterwards, but it's kind of sticky and hot and hazy here in southern Wisconsin. But other than that, everything is going well. Had a nice
Good.
visit with an old schoolmate and friend of mine for a couple of days, and it was wonderful to see him and catch up with him and just reminisce. That was wonderful.
That's always fun. We are of the age where that stuff becomes more and more important, and it really is a pleasure, isn't it?
Absolutely. We go back almost, oh God, we go back at over 50 years to fifth or sixth grade. And we've been in touch all this time. And he truly is a brother from another mother.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I've got an old friend from fourth, I think third or fourth grade. And we're still in touch. He lives in New York City, so we're fairly close. And it's amazing. And whenever I see him, I think, shit, I'm still 12, right? And sometimes I
Well,
act it, so
exactly.
yeah. Anyway, so we've got we had an interesting weekend. So we've got a couple of things on our list of things to chat about. But I would like to start with the Berlin attack, if you don't mind, Mr. Sefton.
Not at all.
Shocking. So there was an LGBTQ barbecue parade or festival. I think it was a parade. And shockingly, a Muslim decided to run some people over. He killed one person, injured many, many more, then ran. And was ultimately shot by the German police, which is not a loss at all, of course. That's exactly the way these people should be treated. But what amuses me, and when I say amuse, I mean it, is that he was in jail for planning exactly this kind of stuff. He was an out and proud Islamist, and the German legal system just let him go. Apparently he should have been in jail still on some previous charges, but what the hell? Well, we'll let them go. And it makes me laugh because these people are busily, industriously destroying their own culture and society and country. What are we supposed to say when they are their own worst enemies? I don't know.
Well, as our friend who we haven't had in a while, we should hopefully get him back one day. Robert Spencer had a take on it. He goes, heaven forbid the Germans should consider themselves to be called Islamophobic. And so this freak was cut loose way too soon. So, and there it is. And now, he can mow down a gay pride parade, and but it's God forbid you call it out for what it is. You call Islam out for the hate filled, not insanity, but hate filled, quote unquote religion or death cult that it is. You
It's
are going to be the one that's in trouble, not
it's
them.
it's operating as they are operating as instructed. This is not, and I'm going to call you out on this. He wasn't a freak. He's doing what he's told. He was doing
Of
what he
course.
learned. He didn't do anything wrong in his eyes. He
In
knew.
his eyes, but of course, in the eyes of
Yeah.
sane people,
Well,
but
that's the thing. He's sane. His worldview has been informed by Islam, by the
yep.
Quran and the Hadith, and they are told from a young age this is the appropriate behavior for a pious Muslim.
Yep,
He's
and
not
there was
crazy.
an,
He's not a
you
freak.
know.
He's doing what he has learned.
Absolutely. And there is quite a good essay I had, I think, above the fold at the Morning Report and at Cut Jib Newsletter this morning, talking about just this suicide of the West and this sort of pact or whatever it is between, and the similarities between Islam and communist socialists seeking to destroy Western society and however many thousand years of advancement in order for their own goals, and how they'll sort of nod and wink and look the other way while each one does their own bidding in attacking the common enemy, which is Western Judeo-Christian forward-thinking civilization.
But again, this is part and parcel of Islam. It cannot be separated from Islam. So this nonsense that we hear about, Islam is a religion of peace. My God, Bush was an idiot. It's fake. That's the West covering for Islam, and it's a very, very dangerous thing. I had an interesting and all too short conversation on Ace of Spades in the comments with somebody who. When I said, no, it's not a religion, it is a revolutionary political philosophy that uses an ersatz religion to control its adherents. And he said, that's ridiculous. Don't, that's unimportant. And no, it's very, very important, because the shield of religion in the West is perfect. If you say you are acting according to your religion, then it's very, very difficult to make that behavior illegal. It's very, very difficult for well-meaning but stupid people in the West to criticize that behavior. And Islam is many things, but it is not a stupid thing. They understand how to manipulate the West into doing its bidding, and they are busily doing it now. So we have to break that connection between Islam and the religious protections of the West, and in particular the United States. Because they are using that very, very carefully and very, very well in the United States to extend their control. And it's a scary thing.
And these same idiots, schmucks of the left, and dangerous in their stupidity, are the same ones who keep crying about Handmaid's Tale. Oh, Christo-fascism. And yes, and abortion is a holy sacrament. And, and I'm going, my God, it's just, if we were to form a religious group, call it whatever you wanted to call it, and to hunt down leftists, watch how they would scream bloody murder at that. And considering their bloody history of everyone, and I say it in all seriousness, everyone from Hitler to Mao to Stalin to you name it, to Fidel Castro going after people, real people of faith everywhere, Jews, Christians, you name it, to this day. Yeah, you can't say that, because we're the ones that are the heirs apparent of the Nazis, not the socialists. But
well, look at the wholesale murder of Christians in Nigeria that occurs every single day, and the world has done nothing about it.
Not a peep.
I didn't see any United Nations condemnation of the Islamic terrorists or Islam in Nigeria. No, they don't see any problem with that. Now, if
they're too busy bashing Israel because Israel, the Jews have the gall to defend themselves from being murdered and call and declare real self-defense as genocide. The insult is just blood boiling in its magnitude.
Yep.
When you consider everything.
So let's switch a little bit to something interesting, at least interesting for me. Sefton apparently saw The Odyssey this weekend. I have not seen it. I have my opinions about it, which are, of course, ignorant because I haven't seen the movie. but I'm curious what Sefton has to say about it. Now, let me, Sefton, give some background. Give us a 15-second background on your experience with movies.
Well, I at one point in my life, I was a screenwriter. I did work in Hollywood. I was a story editor for two very prominent producers who I don't want to name, but they are both multiple Academy Award winners. And I just don't want to reveal my secret identity, and I'll leave it at that. So, and I've had a couple of movies made and scripts that I've written. So I kind of was in the business, and I sort of still have my fingers on the pulse here and there on what's going on, although it's been quite a while. But that is my experience with Hollywood and show business.
So those are his bona fides. So he's not just some schmuck with a microphone and a computer and an internet connection like I am. Anyway, Sefton, I'm curious. What did you think of The Odyssey?
Well, I thought it was 3 hours long, and I felt it was at least an hour way too long, and it was very loud because of the Dolby sound. I mean, my ears were blowing out. It was very bloody, a lot of bloody. I mean, I was my glib response would be sort of like what Bugs Bunny might say. Personally, folks, I think what's his name? Not Ray Harryhausen, but Victor Mature, I think, did it better in the robe, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh boy.
But anyway, it was bloody, it was long, and unfortunately, I cannot remember much of the original piece of Homer's Odyssey. But so I really don't have anything to compare it with in that regard. But I think it could have been done. You could have had the same impact, just cut it down to 2 hours, and it would have been fine.
How about
And
the
as far
movie
as some
making
of the vocal,
itself, the cinematography, how's that stuff?
it was pretty amazing. I mean, look, $250 million gets you some, and Matt Damon was in very good shape. I mean, amazingly physical shape, or that, or his stunt double showing his pectorals. Who knows? But it was look, if you like this kind of sort of old-fashioned epics, I guess. It would be good for you to see it. Now, there's a lot of controversy with the casting, having a black woman play Helen of Troy and or whatever, and I don't know. I didn't even really notice any of that stuff, but it was overly long, but it was indeed an epic. It was a huge epic.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, the casting put me off, and the idea that that Nolan didn't use the Odyssey. He used a modern and very controversial and probably lousy translation. And he played fast and loose with the story,
Yes.
which upsets me because I have, you know, I boy, this is dipping into the personal. But when I was a little kid, my father, who was doing a fellowship at the University of Michigan, became friendly with the chairman of the classics department, a woman named Gerda Seligson. And this old lady used to come over on Sunday mornings and tell me stories, great stories about, you know, blood and guts and gods and thunderstorms and people throwing lightning bolts, and that was my first introduction to the Greek myths. And actually, she did tell me the Iliad and the Odyssey. So
There
I got it
was one
from
kind of.
almost literally the horse's mouth. So
There you
I'm
go.
a bit of a stickler for this kind of stuff.
Well, there was one thing that I think would probably put you off. I mean, again, I don't know how accurate this was because, as I said, it's been years and years since I read the thing. But one of the opponents, that the foes that they were fighting, were dressed in very Nordic armor, and I'm going, wait a minute. Germanic, medieval armor in Homer's Odyssey. That was a bit weird, but I'll leave it at that. Maybe that's too much of a giveaway for people if everything else wasn't a turn off.
Well, I listen, I'm not going to rush out to see this movie. But if it shows up on certainly on cable or whatever they call it nowadays,
Yep.
I'm tempted. I love the story, so why not?
Why not?
Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on to something a little bit more substantial, and that is what's going on in Iran? I know that it's just this tedious back and forth. We all hope that President Trump says, okay, we're done completely and absolutely destroys them. But I'm not so sure that there's much to destroy in Iran. You can send $500 million bombers to chase $100,000 trucks, but that doesn't make much sense. I think the heavy lifting has been done, and it's time for Iran to figure that out. Whether they're going to, boy, I doubt it. Are we going to go in again? Probably. But both their military and their nuclear program has been significantly degraded, and that has given the world time. Whether the world appreciates that is another question. The answer, of course, is no, it doesn't. But listen, what we have done in Iran is a very, very good thing. 47 years too late, but Donald Trump was in his 40s or in his 30s when this happened, late 30s, something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, it is a shame that, you know, that he is not. Well, again, we do not want troop boots on the ground. That would be an absolute disaster. And I know he doesn't want boots on the ground either, although there are some rumblings here and there about minimally like Karg Island being invaded and taken over. But I'm going, my God, just somehow end this madness. And of course,
Let's, folks, I mean, he's preaching to the choir and I'm the choir. No boots on the ground. I don't want a single American soldier anywhere near Iran. Now, we did a magnificent job of rescuing that pilot, and we did have boots on the ground, but that's a very, very different issue. If we need to take Karg Island, let's have the Israelis take it. They're good at that kind of stuff, and it keeps us out of Iran. Israel is intimately involved in Iran. They probably have better intelligence than we do, certainly on the ground than we do, although we share it, so that's not much of a point. Now, am I offering up Israel to to the slaughter? No, they wouldn't do it if they didn't think they could be successful. And listen, yep, we could be successful. We could take Karg Island, no problem. But we'll lose men, probably, and it's a big fat target. And I don't want American soldiers anywhere near there.
Agreed. And it's just it goes back to Islam itself. At some point when this is all over, if the remnants or even one of the mullahs or whoever is left alive, they will go back to seeking the world's destruction and domination and a nuclear weapon. That is, I mean, they'll somehow figure out a way to try and reconstitute their nuclear weapons program. My fear is that, you know, we're dealing with Iran, but everybody seems to ignore that the Muslims already have an atomic bomb. Pakistan is a nuclear power. And they are just as dangerous as the Iranians, although they have protection from the Red Chinese because they're a Red Chinese ally. And so, but who knows what they'll do with their nuclear weapons, if they'll give the technology away, if they'll trade it. So Pakistan is a whole other issue. Who knows if that's in the mix? I have no idea. But and no, I'm not hoping that saying that we should bomb Islamabad. No.
Now let's let India do that.
Exactly.
Boy, we're becoming quite martial in our old age.
We certainly are.
all kidding aside, folks, we have to be very, very careful because it's very easy, people of a certain age, having the youth of America or the youth of the world going on these what seem like lovely little adventures, but they die in these lovely, lovely little adventures. So the use of military power needs to be controlled very, very carefully. That's one of the reasons why I like what Donald Trump has done in Iran. It's important to understand that he did not invade Iran.
Yes.
And he has protected American lives to an amazing extent. And for that, we need to thank him.
Absolutely. And I think the Iranian nuclear program, whatever happens, has been severely and significantly degraded for certainly a period of and given us breathing room in years. And hopefully they will not be reconstituted anytime soon at all, if at all. I'm sure the Israelis will continue to keep the pressure on them in that regard by going after their scientists and so on and so forth. And dear Lord, hopefully the Iranian people, there will be some sort of regime change and at least a return, not to a mollocracy, but at least if nothing more, than an inept and corrupt third world country. If it degrades, if it goes to that level, I'd be satisfied.
Listen, I don't care. I don't care about Iran. Nobody should care about Iran. It's a regional, at best, it's a regional power, but they have used their power and their oil money to be such an incredible malign influence on the world for the last 47 years. It should not be as important as it is.
Indeed.
But they have chosen to ignore the welfare of the people of Iran and have focused on, as I said, these malign behaviors, and that has to end. And Donald Trump is the first one to push that as a as a reasonable alternative to rampant Iranian terrorism across the world.
Unless we forget the previous administration, maladministrations of this country, shoveled billions of dollars at Iran to try to destroy the state of Israel in order to make Iran the regional superpower in the Middle East, to give them the atomic bomb. That is, you know, for that alone, that was just inexcusable. Between
yeah.
Biden and Obama and the idiots at Foggy Bottom doing that, that was completely inexcusable. So God bless Donald Trump for at least stopping that madness and reversing it, hopefully.
Exactly. Well, we shall see. Anyway,
exactly.
So I saw something this morning, and I know almost nothing about it. It won't surprise you at all. And that is that, if you folks are not familiar with somebody called Data Republican, I think it's a woman who writes on X or Twitter, whatever you prefer to call it. And she is quite good at getting behind the scenes and figuring out the true connections between people and things. And she's done some amazing work about who owns the Democrat data. And by data, she is talking about their voter files and their donor files and their volunteer files. And she has discovered that the company called NGP Van, they've been the de facto sole vendor of the DNC voter files since 2004. They are the CCP. They are owned in part by the China Investment Corporation, which, of course, is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Chinese Communist Party. They're also GIC in Singapore has a chunk of the company, and a Saudi Arabian company is also heavily invested. And this is fascinating to me, although not surprising. This is corporate control of the political process, and this is foreign corporate control. And of course, in China, it's, you know, corporations and government are one and the same. So any of you folks who are Democrat donors or Democrat volunteers, or for that matter, Democrat voters, need to understand that your data are controlled in part, at least, by the Chinese Communist Party. I think that's called fascism, but I'm not so sure. Anyway, Sefton, what do you think?
Well, and this harkens back to a couple of years ago, a couple of these giant data breaches of both the federal workforce, federal workers, and other, you know, major private institutions as well. And this can be also traced back to, if not the Chinese, then either the Russians, the you know, and Iranians and other malign actors. And so they are out to destabilize us. And of course, we all know, and we talked about it, I think, on the last episode or last couple of episodes, of Chinese influence over the Democrat and other politicians in our government, especially people like Dianne Feinstein and, you know, Grace Meng and so on and so on and so forth. And Eric Swalwell, they are up to their necks in controlling, and whether involuntarily or in some cases voluntarily, as paid agents of the Chinese Communist Party. I said it and I stand by that. And that has to be smashed to bits.
Oh, I agree.
And hopefully President Trump and the DOJ is doing everything they can. I mean, we talked about the insane and crazy, stupid elections that between 2020 and what we just saw in New Jersey, you know, with the illegal alien. It's not just the wetbacks from over the river, but it's also Chinese communists and others who are voting in our elections. And when I say voting, helping to rig them, along with just illegally individuals illegally voting. So
yeah, as you spoke, I was glancing at this article that Data Republican wrote, and it's actually worse than I described. Folks, head over to X or Twitter, whatever you wish to call it, and read this article. At Data Republican, one word, and she called it APAC's Partners, the Money Linking Singham, China, and the DNC. It's
Roy
sobering.
Singham, yeah.
Yeah.
Roy Singham, yeah.
Yeah, it's a sobering read, and quite depressing. So, anyway. So what else is going on, Mr. Sefton?
Let's see. We talked about the Odyssey and Homer. We talked about the insanity in Iran, more Islamic violence in Europe and elsewhere, and of course, we have Islamic attacks here in the United States that we discussed last week, and just the usual mishigas that we have to contend with as we head towards the 2026 midterms. I know it's July, it's not even August yet, and the summer is still with us, but as we know, elections are both just around the corner and a million years away. So
Isn't it odd?
hopefully
It
it
feels
is
like
odd.
it's yeah. It feels like it's months and months and months out, but it isn't. One thing I noticed before we end this podcast, I noticed that Fauci's diary were made. Some of the entries were made public, and if you didn't like Fauci before this, you're gonna hate him after this. I mean the arrogance and the sleaze and the single-minded drive to be the most important person in the room at all times is unbelievable. And by the way, the flat-out lying. He lied to everybody about pretty much everything. Fauci, more than anyone else, I think, in this country needs to be in jail. What he did to this country was unconscionable, and I think clearly illegal, lying to Congress, making official recommendations using the imprimatur of the CDC and and whatever his organization was, and knowing that it was a lie, has got to be one of the evils perpetrated on America in the last 10 years, one of the biggest ones. But
He
everybody hates
literally,
Anthony Fauci already. So, boy, if I see him in public, I'm not going to say a word, actually. Never mind.
he is literally committed. His actions resulted in the deaths of many thousands of people here
Yes.
and overseas. And lest we forget, speaking of Red China, he worked with them to develop the coronavirus overseas in laboratories that were funded by us. This nonsense of a wet market is total crock of shit.
Yeah,
This was
he knew it was a lie from the very start.
from the
And he
very start.
spouted it for months and months and months, years.
It was his research that created this Frankenvirus that was unleashed on the world in order to destroy Donald Trump's chances of being elected in 2020. And even despite that, he was still elected in 2020. But still, how many people died and how many people had then subjected to these horrendous vaccines, who either died from the vaccines or were crippled by them. This is, ugh,
I'm
it's
a
a
bit of
crime
a,
against humanity.
yeah, I think that the COVID vaccine was first of all, a lousy vaccine. It didn't do what vaccines are supposed to do. Second of all, it had unacceptably, significant side effects. I don't think it was the planet killer that many people say it is. I'm not trying to justify the pressure that the US government put on pretty much everybody to get the vaccine. Oh, and not just the government, private corporations, and municipalities and state governments put incredible pressure on people, legal pressure, which is a crime in and of itself. But the vaccine itself, I think the dangers of it have been overblown. That being said, I would never get another one. I had to get one to see my aging mother in her assisted living facility. They wouldn't let me in if I were not vaccinated, if I hadn't been vaccinated, which infuriates
Well,
me to this day. And I would never, ever in a million years get the COVID vaccine, nor w would I get an mRNA vaccine unless it was very, very carefully studied, far, far more carefully than the COVID vaccine was studied. So anyway,
I am very
sorry about that. That's an aside, but
it's okay, but I am proud to say that I forged my vaccine card. I was able to do it, and go find me, go imprison me, and I forged my papers. And I was able to use it on several occasions to get into places where I probably couldn't if I didn't have the card. So to hell
Marvelous.
with it. Yeah. And
Marvelous.
I haven't been as sick a day. I don't think I've had a cold in 6 years. I've been, knock on wood. I've had other things, sadly,
Yeah, you
including
know.
dealing with brain cancer, but that's another story. But and they'll say, oh yeah, you see, you should have got the vaccine. You wouldn't. Yeah, right, whatever.
Yeah,
I would have
there's a Yiddish
Canadian.
saying, "Cancer schmenzer rabbi gesund," which means cancer, cancer. As long as you're healthy. So,
Exactly. Gay Gesinnte hate, my friends.
yeah. Anyway,
So,
folks, we're jabbering like idiots now, so we're gonna stop. Thank you very much for listening and hitting our tip jar and commenting and reading, of course, at both Ace of Spades and at Cutchip newsletter, Sefton's and my website. We will probably not talk to you in for a couple of weeks. No, we'll see you next week, actually. That's why we're doing it on Monday. I'm unavailable for the next several days. So at any
okay,
rate,
we will.
folks, thank you very much. Sefton, take it away.
Yes, CBD, God bless you, my friend. Be well. And to you, all of my friends and our listeners, your support is truly, truly appreciated. You are a blessing in our lives, and we truly appreciate it. And if it weren't for you, and say it, we mean it, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be doing this. But we do it for you. And thank you for all your continued support. And from around the world, across the nation, and up your street, this has been the Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks Podcasting and Broadcasting Network. Be well, friends. See you on the next one.
Thanks for listening, folks.